This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Dukes and Bell. We are doing the show live from our homes today, and thank you for listening. We know coronavirus is changing our lives a little bit, guys, in many cases a whole lot, and we are adjusting with you guys. So thanks for tuning us in and on radio.com and on your smart speakers. Mike, let's talk to a friend of the show. His name's Jason Budd. He writes for The Athletic, and the Falcons continue to be movers and shakers. And I want to start with the latest news, Jason, of Laquon Treadwell and Justin McCray, an offensive lineman that played in 15 games, started four starts last year as the Falcons bring him in. What do you make of these two moves? Because Mike and I were talking about this, about Treadwell was a stud in college, but he hasn't turned into that in the NFL.
Right. I'll start with McCray first. To me, it seems like a replacement for Wes Schweitzer, a guy who's got position versatility, who can play, who can back up guard and center. You mentioned 15 games, four starts. So it seems to be a good depth addition there. But Laquon Treadwell, that's a guy who's pretty intriguing because, like you mentioned, you know, at Ole Miss he was an absolute stud, and his NFL career hasn't panned out that way. But he's a guy who offers speed. He's a guy who, obviously separation has been an issue, I think, throughout his career. Putting him in as the number four or five option on this roster, I think that should. I mean, it can't be a negative when you're talking about it like that. You know, Justin Hardy, they decided not to bring him back, so there was an opening for a number four, number five guy, you know, in that wideout rotation. And Laquon Treadwell, a guy with some experience in the NFL, a guy who can play special teams, you know, on the coverage units. I think it's a good fit for Atlanta and for Matt Ryan.
Yeah, never more than three catches in any game this year. And again, that's a Minnesota problem. They elected not to pick up the fifth-year option, and maybe just a change of locale is what he needs, because Thielen and Diggs became the guy. What about the guard position? Do you think we're going to try to address the guard in the draft this year, Jason? I mean, I know we're going to have a big competition. We got six guys, but you still think we're going to draft a guard?
It could be a guard. It could be a guy who's a center guard. I think interior O-line is going to be a position of importance that – and not just because of guard, but because of Alex Mack's future. The restructurings that took place to help free up some cap space. Notice that one of them wasn't Alex Mack. So Alex Mack, unless something changes, he's entering this year on his final year of his contract. It's a huge cap hit, but obviously it seems to be something you have to live with because of the importance that he brings to the position now. If they decide to move on, they're going to need his replacement, in the long term. So I think the draft is a great point for that, to get a young guy, whether it's in the, you know, second, third round. I would imagine maybe you trade back and acquire picks, you know, with that first rounder and try to get a center that way, by adding an extra pick. But I think the draft will be very important to find an interior O-line, somebody who maybe can start out competing at guard, but long-term as a center, just because of the uncertainty moving forward after this year with Alex Mack.
It's Jason Budd joining us here on Dukes and Bell. What are we going to get out of Todd Gurley? I was adamant last week, bring him home, and they did. Now, what do we do with him? What do we do, Jason?
Well, you know, if I had all the shots for there, I'd be making a lot more money than I am right now. But when it comes to Todd Gurley, I think worst-case scenario, he's a third down back who's very viable in the receiving game. And then obviously the fans here locally who followed UGA and followed Todd Gurley remember him out of the backfield as a receiver. You see him in Los Angeles. He was a three-down back in his early years, catching balls out of the backfield, making plays in every facet when it came to them. So I think that part of his game, especially in this offense, should be pretty valuable. You know, will he be a three-down back? Probably not. I think the knee is obviously a concern. You kind of saw the lack of explosiveness that he had, you know, this past year and towards down the stretch in the 2018 season. But a best-case scenario, you still get a good bit of production in the run game. And the one thing that I think Todd Gurley offers that I think for a lot of people just goes, despite the power, despite what he's brought in years past prior to the arthritic knee really catching up to him, is his vision. That was always the thing that stood out to me following Georgia, especially when I was in the Maryland area at the time, and I was still catching on Georgia games. And his vision to let block set up, hit the hole, one cut, get up the field, I just think that's so important, especially as a next level back, and really what's made him the back that he is. So best case scenario, you can still get some good production of him as a runner, and then get that added value as a pass catcher. You know, to me, that all of that is why this move is such a low risk, great move, because worst case, you're still getting value, and you're getting it for 1 year on a pretty affordable contract.
It's Jason Butt from The Athletic breaking down the Falcons. And that's the thing. I mean, we like what we saw from Brian Hill from time to time. We really didn't get to see what Quadre Allison could. And, you know, Ito Smith got banged up, so we didn't really see what he got. Do you think we still maybe address running back mid-round where we always seem to find success?
Yeah, very possible. It almost seems like every year except one that Dan Quinn's been the head coach here, they've taken a running back. And I would not be surprised, to say the least, to see them do it again. You know, last year they went with five running backs on the roster. You know, they had Kenyon Barner there too. Remains to be seen if they bring him back. I think, upcoming week when they start trying to finalize special teams, especially with returner in particular, if they decide to bring him back maybe on another 1 year deal, we'll see about that. But if they don't, then yeah, I could definitely see them, you know, looking in that mid round range for a running back. Or if it just so happens that the right fit is in the second, third round, don't rule anything out at this time. But, obviously history indicates that Tom Dimitroff and those guys like to find running backs in the middle round. So I still, with Gurley's knee and with the fact that he's only on a one-year deal, I would think that running back is still a position that they'll be looking for in the draft.
Jason, I'm going to ask you to be critical here, and I know you have been in your articles, but, you know, for me, it's more – last year was more about coaching than it was about personnel. And, you know, when I talk about who changed in the second half of the season, if you go look at our starters, there was no real changes across the board defensively, yet the defense played better. So with that said, and you know, adding these additions, and we're talking about what we're going to do in the draft – doesn't this still get back to, though, the coaching aspect of things? And we got plenty of time to see where this thing goes, but Raheem Morris and Jeff Ulbrich, both of those guys did a great job on the defensive side, but coaching is the point here, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've written about this probably countless number of times, that when you look back at last season, the coaching let the team down in the first half of the season, and it mainly had to do with the secondary. I mean, we can talk all day about pass rush, but if you can't cover for 2.5 seconds, it doesn't matter who you have. You know, you could have Lawrence Taylor. He's not getting there in 2 to 2.5 seconds, play after play. It's not happening. And that was the issue. You saw the change. You move Raheem Morris over. They're able to change some technique issues with those guys. And they played a lot better. And the numbers of in terms of quarterback holding the ball increased, allowed the front to do a better job to get to the quarterback, and it all went hand-in-hand with each other. Now, that's going to be the critical thing. With Raheem Morris calling the entire defense now, he and Joe Witt are going to have to be on the same page. Now, you take Joe Witt's experience throughout his career, primarily with Green Bay, and he has a great track record with cornerbacks. You know, last year, letting Marquand Manuel go and not bringing him back, that proved to be a really big issue, in the sense of they didn't have a guy – throughout the first half of the year and that offseason who had the experience, per se, just I shouldn't say experience, but just didn't have the the right kind of coaching for those players, and it showed. Guys out of position, a called zone with a guy going in man. I mean, all that stuff that we went over week after week for eight games, you know, that changed over the second half of the year, and it showed on the field. And with Joe Witt, a guy who's very detailed, has a lot of experience, you know, the hope is that what you saw, and obviously why everybody, you know, for the most part is back except for the two coaching changes they made, you know, they're looking for that carryover from second half to the first half, and that's what everybody's betting on. And you'd have to think that with Raheem Morris on the defensive side of the ball now, that the chances of having it play out like the second half compared to the first half are a lot better.
It is our man Jason Butt breaking it down as they're trying to figure out what the Falcons are going to look like. And obviously, you know, chance to do something special in the draft. Weak side linebacker, because I know people think, can Foye Alua can be a starter? Are we still going to try to find a guy? Where's that weak side linebacker coming from now DeVondre's gone?
Yeah, so that's a very good question. You could go early in the draft, possibly first round, or that kid out of Oklahoma, Kenneth Murray. I love his speed and athleticism. He seems to have a knack for the ball. You know, I think he's you know, they say that fast and physical mantra in Flowery Branch a lot. I think he fits that mold. You know, I think there's some other linebackers maybe you can find in the draft. I don't know who at this point in free agency they can find, so I would think the draft might be a more logical avenue for them to find if they're looking for a linebacker to step in and try and be a starter at that will position. I think the pipe dream for a lot of people might be to go up and get Isaiah Simmons, but I don't, you'd have to give up a lot to try to either like four or five or six to make such a move. But Kenneth Murray, I think if they're going to take one early and that's the direction they want to go, you know, possibly look at him, in that middle first round, because I think he fits that area of the draft and definitely fits the position of need now that the Falcons brought in Dante Fowler and don't necessarily need to take an edge rusher with that 16th overall pick.
It is Jason Butt, guys, joining us here. And Jason, great job. By the way, just a quick update. How are you holding up, man, by the way? How are things with you?
Yeah, man, it's like everybody. It's tough. You know, limited human interaction. At least I have a wonderful wife that she's working from home now, too. So we get to spend a lot more time. And, you know, that's a relief. But otherwise, a lot of Better Call Saul and NCAA 14 and Madden 20. So a lot of that going on.
Find me online, fool. All right, man. Appreciate you, Jason.
Absolutely. Y'all take care. Thanks for having me.
You too.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.